I'm John Krall. Coming up on No Limits, we're going to talk about dreams. We're going to talk about what they say about us and what they try to tell us. We're going to try to interpret the thoughts and visions that come to us when our guard is down and perhaps our innermost feelings reveal themselves. Joining me today will be Carrie Keller, director of the School of Metaphysics, Indianapolis, and Dr. Laurel Clark, an author and president emeritus of the School of Metaphysics. Please join the conversation by calling 1-866-476-3881, emailing nolimits at WFYI.org, or connecting via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Now, this news.
Support for No Limits is provided by WGU Indiana, Indiana's 8th state university. Information about earning a degree from WGU, an accredited online nonprofit university, is available at indiana.wgu.edu.
Welcome to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, executive editor of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We are talking today about dream interpretation. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org or connect with us via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Got two great guests today. Carrie Keller, who is the director of the School of Metaphysics, Indianapolis. Carrie, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's very nice to be here. I appreciate it a lot.
It's good to have you here. And Dr. Laurel Clark, who is an author and president emeritus of the School of Metaphysics. Laurel, welcome to the program.
Thanks, John. It's great to be here.
It's good to have you here. I want to start talking a little bit. Can you talk with me first about what the School of Metaphysics is? I know metaphysics is one of those terms people use rather loosely, and there's actually a fairly precise definition. Carrie, how about if I let you take the first whack at that?
Well, when I found the school about 10 years ago, I was like everyone else. I had no idea what the word metaphysics even meant, and very quickly came to understand that there is an awareness that most of us don't pay much attention to, and that's how our mind functions, how it works, why we make the choices we do. And so the School of Metaphysics teaches the applied version of how to use your mind more efficiently, how to be aware of what your mind is doing, what influences your thoughts every day.
Dr. Clark, in terms of expanding on that, we're talking about both consciousness and unconsciousness, right?
Yes. The word metaphysics itself, meta means above or beyond, physics means the laws of the physical universe. So metaphysics are the laws of the mind, the laws of creation. Sometimes they're called universal laws. That's what we call it in our course of study. So we do teach people about consciousness and more specifically how to develop it. So it's not just talking about ideas or reading other people's ideas. We teach exercises such as concentration exercises, meditation. We teach people how to listen, how to develop reasoning, for example. And the reason why we teach dreams is that dreams are an actual experience that everybody has every night. Although a lot of people don't remember their dreams, everybody does dream. And they're one of our best teachers about our own state of consciousness.
In some ways, I think it's Emerson who said the unexamined life is not worth living. Is that sort of the guiding principle we're talking about here?
Yes, absolutely.
Since we are talking about dreams here, how does one go about, and I'm going to ask layman's questions here for the people out there who might be intimidated, and we'll see that you will treat their questions in the spirit in which they offer them. How does one go about interpreting dreams?
Well, the first step is to remember dreams, and a lot of people think that they don't dream because they don't remember their dreams. So to remember dreams is something that people can cause to happen, first of all, by saying, I want to remember my dreams, and then putting a notebook by the bed and saying before you go to sleep, I want to remember my dreams, or it's very important for me to remember my dreams, and then hopefully to wake up without an alarm clock so that you can wake up gradually, and then to write down whatever you remember when you first awaken. And most people are pretty surprised that with a little bit of practice, they begin to remember dreams and in a short period of time, remember quite a bit of detail to the dreams. The key to interpreting them is to realize that they communicate in a picture language, a language of symbols. So what we teach at the School of Metaphysics is that the symbols are universal and the meaning of the dream is personal. So for example, when you dream about other people, those people symbolize aspects of yourself or qualities of yourself. And when you can say, okay, well, how do I think about John? I see him as being very intelligent and very interested in other people. So if John were in my dream, he would symbolize that aspect of myself. A car in a dream. If you think about what a car does, it's a vehicle that gets us from here to there. As if you consider the self to be a mental being or a soul or a spiritual being, the corresponding vehicle that gets us from here to there in our life is our physical body. So a car in a dream symbolizes the physical body. So that's the first step in interpreting the dreams, is to learn the vocabulary or the symbols, that's the language they communicate in, and then learning how to put that together into a message. And then saying, okay, how does that message apply to me? What am I thinking in my waking life that this dream is reflecting to me at night?
It's got its own grammar, it sounds like.
Right.
Its own structure of language. We are talking about dream interpretation here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. Pam, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello. Your question, please.
My question is, my mother is 82 years old, and she's had a lot of illness recently, and she shared with me that two nights ago she had a dream that she was lifting the lid on her coffin, and she wanted to know what that meant.
Thank you very much for the question. We'll see if we can get you an interpretation here.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pam. I would say a couple of things about this dream. One is that death in a dream symbolizes a change. So if I had that dream, I would interpret it to mean that I am aware that there are some big changes that either are occurring or about to occur in my life. And I'm looking to see what they are, what's going to be on the other side of the change. So it might be that it's a precognitive dream that's telling her that her physical life is getting ready to end, but not necessarily. It could be any kind of change in herself, in her awareness, in her way of thinking, that is in her awareness in her waking state.
Is this a part of ourselves that we've kind of lost touch with? I know in the middle of the 19th century, for example, Lincoln and mm-hmm. his wife paid an awful lot of attention to the dreams they had. There was this sense, to some degree, that dreams connected you with other planes of existence or reality. And I don't think it's fair to say many people these days are somewhat uncomfortable talking about things in that fashion. Carrie Keller, is this a piece of our lives or existence that we have lost touch with?
Very definitely. It's certainly one that I have, for the last 10 years, becoming reacquainted with the inner levels of mind, you might call it. Some people call it different realities. It has a lot of terms depending on the approach. The study, for me, has allowed me to see how I think and different levels that are not always, have not been conscious. They're me awakening to those levels.
What brought you to the School of Metaphysics in the first place? You said it's been a 10-year journey. What brought you there?
I lived in St. Louis. I had two companies and was living what I thought was the most ambient life I could. And actually turned on the radio one day. I'm driving a car and heard the little lady right next to me. Mm-hmm. And at that point, as I said earlier, I didn't know what metaphysics was. And 3 days later, I found myself at the school, and it just kept multiplying, me waking up to what I had not seen in life before.
So it was, in some ways, akin to a spiritual kind of awakening.
Sure.
We are talking about dream interpretation here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Or you can connect with us via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Marvin, welcome to the program.
Yes, good afternoon. How's everybody doing? Your host, your guest.
We're doing fine. What's on your mind, Marvin?
I want to give tell you about this dream that I had, and as a dream, and to give you the well, the dream I had was, I believe, first of all, there was a lot of killing on the face of Earth in this dream, and a lot of pestilence and violence was in the land, and I looked up in the sky in this dream, and an angel looked down at me, and the angel said, "If you think this is bad, you haven't seen nothing yet." I woke up out of the dream, and I felt it was the Lord that spoke to me. He said, "Turn to Ezekiel 7. I turned to Ezekiel 7, and it says, an end has come upon the four corners of the earth." I had this dream about 20 years ago, and I just want to say, when she, one of your hosts on there, or your guests on there, you're saying that, you know, creation, I really do believe that God does deal with people with dreams, and that also I believe that he can also give you interpretation of the dream as well. I don't know if I have time to give you another dream that I have. Do I? Or
I'll tell you what. Why don't we deal with this dream first, and then, because we're getting other callers, and I want to give as many people a chance as possible. But thank you very much for the call, Marvin.
Welcome.
Certainly. Well, Laura Clark.
First of all, Marvin, I appreciate your call, and I agree with you that God, Holy Spirit, however people refer to it, can communicate to us through dreams. And most scriptures that I've read have dreams in them. In the Bible, there are quite a few stories of angels and God coming to people in dreams. The dream that you had, I would interpret that symbolically. Death, as I told the previous caller, is a symbol for change. So at the time you had that dream, I would say that there were some major changes occurring in yourself that were probably affecting every part of you, because it was death that was coming upon the whole world. And the angel is a communication from your high self, from your creator, that was telling you to be prepared for the changes in yourself. One thing that I do believe and practice, it's one of the reasons why I've been a teacher for 35 years, is that in some ways people can serve as angels in other people's lives, meaning that I think that most of us know at least one person in our lives that something in our life changed because of some way that that person touched us or aided us. And that's how I would look at that dream, is that it was telling you that there was something meaningful that you could do to aid other people, and in the process also perhaps fulfill your destiny.
What, Laurel, and we know Carrie's path to this was kind of out of a sense of spiritual hunger. What brought you to this course of study, and then how did you pursue it? I mean, what... You know, so that you're able to interpret these dreams, what allowed you to do that? Because it is a complex vocabulary we're mm-hmm. talking about here, and a complex structure.
I discovered the School of Metaphysics when I was 22. I had just graduated from college at the University of Michigan, and I thought I was going to go on to graduate school, but I knew that I didn't want to just plunge into a graduate program without really knowing what I was going to do with my life. And so it was during that period that someone told me about the School of Metaphysics, and they actually told me about one of the services the school offers that's called a past life reading, mm-hmm. which in 1979, nobody talked about that. And I was curious. I had no idea what it was about. I thought, okay, I'll have it done, and was really quite amazed at the depth of insight that it gave me about myself, what it was that I needed to learn, what I needed to change. And so that's why I started studying. in terms of how I have come to interpret dreams, that's been through my education at the School of Metaphysics, starting with my own dream journal. I've been keeping dream journals since 1977, actually, and learning the language.
Why did you start? I mean, I know a lot of writers will record mm-hmm. their dreams because they, aside from all the spiritual components, they believe that it also unlocks creative possibilities, reservoirs of creativity. What prompted you to start recording your
dreams? That's exactly why. I was taking a creative writing class, and one of my friends who was in the class wrote this beautiful poetry with great imagery, and I asked her where she got that from, because my poetry was kind of brainy. So she said, for my dreams. And so I started keeping a dream journal.
We will pick this up on the other side. We are talking about dream interpretation on No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, executive editor of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We are talking today about dream interpretation. I'm fortunate to have as my guests Carrie Keller, who is the director of the School of Metaphysics, Indianapolis, and Dr. Laurel Clark, author and president emeritus of the School of Metaphysics. Just before we went to the break, we were talking about it, how you started your dream journal, and mm-hmm. In part it was a creative act at first. At what point did it become spiritual?
That was after I discovered the School of Metaphysics. I was writing down my dreams for about 2 years, mostly because I wanted the inspiration for writing, but I didn't know what they meant. And I had a lot of nightmares at the time also. And then once I became a student at the School of Metaphysics, I started learning how to interpret them. And from learning how to interpret them, what I discovered is that they each had a message coming from my inner self that was about me. It was about my own attitudes and state of awareness. And then it's developed since then. I wrote a book that was published last fall called Intuitive Dreaming that actually started with some dreams I had. I was married and my husband died, and I had some visitation dreams.
Sorry.
That he came to me in the dreams. And what I found from talking to other people is that that is a very common experience that a lot of people don't want to talk about. And they're very comforting. They help people to know that there really is life that's beyond this physical realm.
We've actually gotten a question from a listener who did not want to go on the air that said, if you dream about talking with a loved one who has died, is it a real encounter?
I'm glad that listener asked that question. In most cases, yes, it is. And the reason that I'm qualifying it is that it is possible to have a dream about someone who has died. And if in the dream they are appearing kind of like they were when they were alive, that might be symbolic. But in most cases, a visitation dream where that loved one is actually coming to you in the dream state, most times the dreamer has a feeling that it is actually that person, if you want to still call them a person. Sometimes there's not a verbal communication. It's more in gestures, or they're aware of that person's presence. And it's fairly common for that to happen.
We are talking about dream interpretation here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org or connect with us via Facebook or Twitter at WFYI. Tim, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
Certainly. What's on your mind?
Well, dreams have had such a powerful impact on my conscious life. And I was curious about the premonitions, because I gave it some serious consideration that it might be possible when I would, say, have a dream of that I'm out pheasant hunting. And as I would, a pheasant would fly up in front of me, and as I was ready to shoot the bird, something would crash in my room and awaken me at the same time that the gun would go off in my dream. And there's been other instances like that as well. And I just can't understand if that's something in my mind that's processing it in a strange way, or if there's some premonition to it that is going on.
Good question. Thank you very much for the call, Tim.
Thank you.
And Laurel, I'll let you take that one unless Carrie wants to jump in.
Well, a premonition is dreaming about something that then happens in the future. And it is possible to have dreams like that. The type of dream that you're talking about where you hear something in your dream and then there's something that's happening in your waking state, that occurs because we are what I would call multidimensional beings. We exist in these physical bodies. At the same time, there are emotions that are going on inside of us. At the same time, there's what Carrie referred to as the inner levels of consciousness that is beneath the surface. So it's possible to have a dream that there's something that is occurring within your subconscious mind, which is what the dream is, and at the same time, to receive something that's happening in your physical life. And so that's why people will have a dream sometimes that the phone rings and they pick up the phone and it's actually their alarm that's going off in their waking state. So they're hearing the alarm in the dream, and how it appears in the dream is as the telephone. So that's what it sounds like with what you're talking about with this dream with the gun going off and then you wake up. In order to tell if a dream is a premonition or precognitive, the only way I know how to do that is through experience, because sometimes you don't know. And that's one of the benefits of keeping a dream journal. If you write it down and then after the fact, whatever the event is, happens in your waking life, then you can look back in your dream journal and say, wow, I dreamed about this. So through the process of doing that, you become more familiar with what your own precognitive dreams are like, what they feel like, what type of quality they have to them.
Are there certain archetypes to these dreams? You know, the classic, the fear of falling, for example.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean or signify?
Well, the experience of falling in a dream is when you are actually in the process of waking up. So in a sense, you are falling. You're going from a deeper state of consciousness all the way out to the waking state of consciousness. And so the experience of that in the dream state is the experience of falling, which is why most people wake up when they hit the ground.
And are there ever times that I can't remember the name of the writer, when a rose is just a rose, when it's not mm-hmm. a symbol for something else, but it is a literal representation of what you're concerned about or thinking about?
It can be, particularly in the case of what is called a precognitive dream. Like, I know of a couple of people who had dreams of driving in a car, and in one case, a truck was about to hit the person. In another case, the car was about to crash. And then in their waking state, that experience actually occurred. And because they remembered the dream, they were able to do something different. So they didn't actually get into the crash.
We are talking about dream interpretation here on No Limits. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-866-476-3881. Shane, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello. What's on your mind? I'm doing well. Thank you.
I was calling because I'm a very vivid dreamer. I have many, many dreams. I often will wake up with four or five dreams on my mind. And I have kept a dream journal in the past, but sometimes it's just been too much. But I find that my dreams are often so strange, bizarre things like being on a helicopter with a monkey who's throwing an ice chest at me. Really, things that I have no clue how to interpret, things that are so bizarre. And I was just looking for any insight into how to interpret dreams that are very strange.
Thanks very much for the call, Shane.
Thank you.
Well, if you're dealing with a dream that really, to you, it seems almost nonsensical. The example he used is being on a helicopter with a monkey who's throwing things from an ice chest at him. I don't even know how to frame that. Mm-hmm. I'm sort of at a loss there. So,
well, there's a couple of things that I would consider. First of all, the kind of dreams someone has reflect their waking state of consciousness. So I would say that Shane probably in his waking state is very creative. It may be that he spends a lot of time kind of in fantasy where he fantasizes about things. Sometimes people who have bizarre dreams play a lot of video games, and there's actually a woman.
Oh, so that sort of warps the sense of reality in the dream state.
Right.
Okay.
The more that someone spends a lot of time in virtual.
Warps is a loaded word. Alters.
Right.
Exactly.
And by the same token, if someone is taking drugs or doing alcohol, which produces altered states of consciousness, that will also alter the dreams. So that's one thing to consider. Another thing to consider is that part of the benefit of writing down a dream as soon as you awaken is that then you capture what the actual dream is. And sometimes if people don't do that, they think they remember the dream, but they don't write it down, and then they think about it during the day. Sometimes they end up embellishing it with their imagination. And so I'm not saying that is the case. It could be that Shane actually has dreams like this. By learning what the symbols are and then putting the symbols together, there still is a meaning to the dream. However, if they seem particularly bizarre, that's a question that I would probably ask, is if he spends a lot of time with video games or reading fantasy novels, things like that.
And that that gets to another question I guess I would have is, if you're a person who has kind of a fanciful imagination, or, you know, I'm someone who's made his living with his pen for a long time, there are times I will write without worrying, you know, just for myself, never for publication, but just about putting the right sounds together so that, you know, there's a certain musicality to the to the language. Are there times when we dream that we're just dreaming for entertainment purposes, that the mind is amusing itself or whatever, or is there always some deeper meaning?
What I've found is that there is always a deeper meaning, and at the same time, what we pay attention to in our waking life is reflected in our dreams. So I don't know if you've had dreams like this. I know I had a couple of fairly profound dreams that just had a voice message. There were no visuals to it. And it got my curiosity going because I thought maybe that was happening because I write and I speak. I do a lot of things with verbal communication. And what I found out is that that type of dream that's a voice-only message is not limited to people who live in the world of words. I know some visual artists who have dreams like that. So part of what's interesting about dreams is to learn some of the many varied ways that they can tell us about ourselves.
Sandy, welcome to the program.
Hi there.
Hi. Your thoughts?
Well, normally I have very typical dreams. I'm kind of a type A personality, and they're usually stress-related. You know, there's some math class that I didn't take, so I don't have my degree, so I don't have my job, blah, blah, blah. I have to go back and do that. But for about a two-week period of time, I had these dreams where just off to the side, not even interacting, there was a black bear. And he would just be there. And I kind of almost looked forward to finding him, you know, not in a sort of Where's Waldo way, but just finding him in my dreams. Was he going to be there? Was he not going to be there? And, you know, like I said, about 2 weeks period of time, and he was gone. And I've always remembered that two-week period of time.
Thank you very much for the call, Sandy. Carrie Keller, you were nodding your head while she was talking, almost as if you recognized something like that.
That's one of the first things we learn about dreams. Animals in dreams always represent conscious or unconscious habitual ways of being, habitual habits that we can come to recognize in our life that don't always serve us. They're not bad. Sometimes they can be good. But I've always had fish in my dreams. And so when I hear people have some dominant figure like a bear or something like that, then you want to give them some help to understand, well, what is that representing in their real life every day in the way of some form of habit?
We've gotten an email question from a listener named Jerry, who says, as a 15-year-old more than a half century ago, I read a translation of Sigmund Freud's, and I'm not going to attempt to do the German. I have too much respect for the German culture, with the English title, The Interpretation of Dreams. I have been a serious Freud fan ever since. I would be interested in your guest views about Freud's theories on the meaning of dreams. Laurel Clark.
First of all, I will say that I'm not a Freud scholar. However, I do know some about what he understood dreams to mean. And I think one of the most significant gifts that he had to the world of understanding dreams is the dreams are about us. They tell the dream about the dreamer. And prior to that, a lot of cultures looked at dreams as being the voice of God or something that came from outside of the self. And Freud said that our dreams are about us, and that even the relationships with the people in dreams will tell us about our relationships. The thing that I differ a bit with is that most of his interpretations were literal, that if you dream of killing your father, it means that you have this latent desire to kill your father. I don't believe that that is correct. However, that was a significant advance to say that dreams are about the dreamer.
We are talking about dream interpretation here on No Limits. Paul, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi.
For years, in the wake of a divorce, I was having dreams about floating, and I enjoyed them very much until I figured out that they were a metaphor. They were a symbol that I was disconnected from my business and taking care of things I needed to take care of. And once I came to that conclusion, I no longer have those dreams. Is that would that be an interpretation that is accurate and common, or what is your feeling?
Laurel, thank you very much for the call, Paul.
Thanks.
The way that I would interpret a dream of floating, you didn't say if you're floating in a boat or just floating in your body in the water. I'm assuming it was just floating in the water. That water symbolizes your everyday waking life experiences. So I can see how you would interpret that as being disconnected. How I would interpret it is that there actually was some freedom that you were experiencing in your life. And so perhaps the divorce stimulated you to look at yourself in new ways, to look at your life in new ways, to have some new perspectives that were giving you some freedom. I would say that once you have received a message or a meaning from your dream, that would be why the dream would change.
And are there times, so far most of the focus has been on dreams as sources of concern or anxiety, or in the discussion we've had here, are there times, because I as I was listening to Paul, I heard the same thing you did. I thought, okay, there's almost a feeling of release here.
Mm-hmm.
Are there times when they can be signs of anticipation or relaxation or release or joy even?
Yeah, absolutely. A flying dream is a good example of that. A lot of children have dreams of flying, like not in an airplane, just flying through the air. And oftentimes, because as we become adults, people tend to be, they start feeling restricted, even though they don't have to be. Adults have those dreams less often. And when people are experiencing a sense of exhilaration or joy or freedom, they have flying dreams that have that kind of wonderful feeling. There are people who practice lucid dreaming, which is being aware in a dream that you are dreaming, and do wonderful, enjoyable things. Some dreams are very inspirational, and there are many scientists, artists, musicians who've received inspiration from their dreams that they've turned into works.
Into lasting works of art.
Mm-hmm.
I've gotten an email question from a listener named Lowry. Says, a recurring theme in my dreams is that I am somewhere away from my home and can't find a way to get home. Interpretation?
Home or your house is a symbol of your mind. So that is not an uncommon dream when somebody is looking for security in themselves. And interestingly, I spoke to a man who is a psychologist who works with patients with dementia, and he mm-hmm. said that that's a fairly common dream for people who are just beginning to develop dementia. I'm not saying that's the case with this dreamer.
We don't want to scare
but,
this
right,
person. Yeah.
That they're aware that there's a sense of security that they're kind of losing, and they're trying to find
or
that in themselves.
In
yes.
We are talking about dream interpretation here on No Limits. My guests are Carrie Keller, Director of School of Metaphysics, Indianapolis, and Dr. Laurel Clark, author and president emeritus of the School of Metaphysics. You can join the conversation by sending us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. I'm John Kroll. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, executive editor of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We are talking today about dream interpretation. My guests are Carrie Keller, who is the director of the School of Metaphysics, Indianapolis, and Dr. Laurel Clark, who is an author and president emeritus of the School of Metaphysics. We've gotten an awful lot of listener interest on this already. On the off chance that we can't get everyone's questions answered or their dreams interpreted during the time we have left, is there a way that they can get this kind of information or this kind of interpretation after this program is over?
There is. There are several ways. This weekend, we have a once-a-year event called the National Dream Hotline at our world headquarters that people can call in from 6 p.m. Friday through midnight Sunday around the clock and have dreams interpreted over the phone. And that number is 417-345-8411.
I'm going to ask you to give that again, just in case people okay. did not have a pencil handy when we started talking.
It's 417-345-8411. And then there also are some events here locally that Carrie could let you know about.
Yes, Carrie, please.
Okay. Coming up this Friday, we're doing a Dreamcatchers meetup here locally in Indianapolis at the Big Car Service Center for Culture and Community. It's at 7 o'clock, and it's over on 3819 Lafayette Road. And then Sunday at the School of Metaphysics, we are having a dream lecture given by Dr. Clark here that would involve all types of dreams and understandings and probably some intuition about her latest book on intuitive dreaming. And we also have classes that we start every 3 or 4 weeks. And this coming Wednesday, May 1st, we'll be starting a new class for people that want to know more about dreams and all the other things that we teach.
And we've gotten a Facebook question from a listener named Amy that's exactly on this point. If people are interested in learning more about dreams and metaphysics, where do they get involved? You might start by, actually, you said come to the school. Might okay. give them an address. Tell
right.
them where that might be.
The School of Metaphysics is at 6138 North Hillside Avenue. That's pretty much at the junctures of 62nd and Keystone, Indianapolis. Can I give our phone number?
You can indeed.
317-251-5285. Or you can also email us at indianapolis@som.org.
We've gotten a question via Facebook from a listener named Lisa. It says, I am enjoying today's topic. I have a two-part question. I have many deja vu dreams in which the scenario I dreamt about comes to fruition in my daily life, often with the comment that I dreamt about this conversation or action, and that I even say that in my dream. What causes this? Also, what are your thoughts on lucid dreams? Thank you. Laurel.
The déjà vu is a great question. The words déjà vu in French mean already seen, and so that is accurate, that it is possible to dream something that then when you're awake, you have the awareness that you have already seen it or experienced it in your dreams. Why it happens, I think, is to bring your attention to what's happening in the waking state. So when I have a déjà vu, I pay very close attention to what's happening, either something I'm saying, something someone else is saying, that there's a sense that there's something important that I need to pay attention to in the waking experience that's happened. My thoughts about lucid dreaming. Lucid means light or awareness. So a lucid dream is when you're aware in the dream that you're dreaming, and it is a way of becoming more aware of the vastness of the self, what we're capable of, the fact that there is more to us than just this physical form. And most people who have lucid dreams, once they have some experience with it, can use it for a number of different purposes, like for healing, to ask questions that they want answers to gain insight, kind of like meditation almost.
Brandon, welcome to the program. Brandon, welcome to the program. Sounds like Brandon's got a little bit of a phone connection problem. We've gotten an email question from another listener that came via Twitter. I have had several dreams that seem to foretell the future. Places I've never been are known to me. Events experienced. We've talked a bit about this anticipatory dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
to some degree, how do we speak to that?
Well, first of all, I think that when somebody has experiences like this, it is part of becoming aware that we can have a lot more direction, a lot more control of our lives than sometimes people think they can. So if one thing I do want to say is that if you have a precognitive dream about something that you don't want to have happen, like you dream about your son having a car crash and then he does, it doesn't mean that it's your fault. It doesn't mean that you have caused that to happen because you've dreamed about it. It's more a way to prepare the self or to prepare the mind for the event that's about to occur. In some cases, precognitive dreams can help us to make better choices, to become more aware that maybe we don't have to let things play out the way we want them to, or simply to become more prepared for something so we know how to handle it when it happens in our waking life.
Marcus, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi. What's on your mind?
I have this dream over where I'm actually flying, and I wake up so happy, and the rest of the day is food. But I have it all the time, and so I don't know why I do it. I tell my friends about it, and it's like they laugh at me. So it's constantly that dream.
Thank you very much for the call, Marcus. Thank you. It's a dream about flying, and it sounds like part of the note, the phone connection wasn't the greatest that Marcus had. Also suggesting wanted to know, to some degree, it sounded like he enjoyed the dream mm-hmm. and wanted to know, is it possible to sort of encourage your mind to have more of those dreams if you find them pleasant experiences?
One way to do that is to pay attention to what is occurring in your waking state at the time you have the dreams, because the dreams are pretty immediate. So what's been in your mind and your consciousness during your day is reflected that night in your dreams. So what I would suggest to Marcus is if he can remember what was on his mind during the day right before he had the dream, that repeating that type of thinking would increase the likelihood of him having another flying dream. Most people have flying dreams either because they are experiencing some freedom in their thinking in their waking state, or sometimes they have kind of an escapist attitude, and so they escape into imagination. So to learn how to cause that intentionally rather than having it be an escape is one of the best ways I know to actually induce a flying dream.
What are some of the symbols in dreams that should alarm us if they occur in our dreams? I mean, what should give us concern that we're either, you know, as you mentioned earlier, one of the dreams suggests a kind of disconnection, the not being able to find your way home, mm-hmm. or alienation from oneself. Are there other symbols that should be sources of concern if they crop up in your dreams?
Yes. One thing I would say is that simply by remembering dreams and interpreting them, they can be helpful. A car in a dream symbolizes your physical body. So if you have car problem dreams, like flat tires, running out of gas, your radiator's broken, those are what I would call health dreams that are indicating that there's something happening in the physical body. And you might not feel sick yet, but if you don't pay attention to it, you probably will get sick. So that would be a dream to pay attention to. Another dream, somewhat related, is if you dream about being stuck in the mud, it means that there's some kind of emotional situation that's bogging you down, and it would be helpful to perhaps get some counseling or to talk out what your ideas are, do some journaling, something so that you're not getting bogged down in the emotions.
We've gotten several questions about people who have dreams about anticipating the deaths of friends. One says, I've also dreamed of several friends who have died 3 days in a row leading up to their deaths. Occurred when I was a young adult. Another one from a listener named Charlie says, I just had a quick question regarding to recurring dreams. Since 2008, I've had a recurring dream theme, primarily regarding dying in my own dreams without waking up. Usually it is my closest friends killing me. These dreams are all disturbingly vivid. I was curious if there are something more than just the terror they cause. Why don't we start with anticipating friends dying first, and then the flip side of that is friends killing you, apparently, what those might mean.
Death symbolically in a dream symbolizes change, and it is pretty common for people to have dreams about death. Sometimes it's running from someone who's trying to kill you. It could be dreaming about someone else who has died or is about to die. Symbolically, all of those dreams are talking about changes in yourself. And if you're dreaming about friends who are dying, those friends symbolize aspects of you. So it's that quality in you that either is changing or needs to change. In the case of a precognitive dream, where it sounds like the first caller whose dream you read had dreams about friends who died, who then actually did die in his waking life, that is a precognitive dream that probably was occurring to help prepare him for what was about to occur. Even with a precognitive dream, there still is a symbolic level that we can interpret it that's telling us something about ourselves, about changes that are occurring in ourselves.
Is there a dream that, is it possible to dream? I mean, so far we've talked about all of these as being manifestations of oneself.
Mm-hmm.
Are there times when the dream can actually involve something that is outside yourself? A concern that, for lack of a better term, is more altruistic.
It can. I actually had a dream that was very profound that is one of the dreams that I wrote about in this book, Intuitive Dreaming, that was a year to the day after my husband died. He died on September 10th, 2000. And the year after his death, which was September 10th, 2001, was a Monday, and I had classes to teach. And so the next day, I decided to take a day off of work and kind of commemorate the year after his death. And of course, September 11th, 2001 is when the big disaster happened in New York. And I was very alarmed on a lot of levels, personally, because I have relatives who live in New York. I grew up in New York. And then in terms of being a teacher, being an interfaith minister, I had many people who were coming to me who were very alarmed about what had happened. And that night, I had a dream that my husband, who had been deceased for a year, was in New York. He was helping the people who had died in the World Trade Center, and I saw him, and he looked beautiful. He looked alive. And I said in this really urgent tone of voice, "Are they okay?" And he lit up with this amazing light and this beautiful smile, and he said, "Yes, they're fine. Once they're out, they're fine." And when he said, "Once they're out," I felt this kind of exhilaration of what it feels like for the spirit to leave the body. And although I personally have never had a near-death experience, that's what it felt like. And I knew that that was a universal message, that once someone is out of the body, they really are fine. And it was the people who were here, who were on Earth, who were worried, who were alarmed, that we were the ones who were having the pain and the grief, and that the people who had died actually were okay.
And it was a sense of release.
Very much so.
We are talking about dream interpretation here on No Limits. Ryan, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello. Your question, please.
I have a constant reoccurring dream, and I'm 27, so I'm not that old, but it's maybe for about 10 years now, where my teeth are constantly falling out. In fact, I had one last night, and it's very vivid. I always have this, like, oh, crap, now I'm going to get false teeth. Like, how much is that going to cost? Like, like that whole mentality. But I was wondering, and I'm super anal about my teeth, though I use mouthwash a couple times a day, what kind of symbology or just what that generally means to have that dream so consistently. And another important thing is that it's never the same dream. It's not a reoccurring dream. It'll be a different instance every time with the same continual narrative with the teeth.
Thanks very much for the call, Ryan. We'll see if we can get you an answer. Laurel.
That is a very common dream, or some variation of it. Food in a dream symbolizes knowledge. Because your teeth are what you use to chew food, what that dream is saying is that there's something at the time you're having the dream that you need to change in terms of how you're learning. It may be that there's new knowledge that's coming to you, and so you have to update how you've looked at things before. It may be that the ways that you've been accustomed to learning aren't really working anymore, and so you need to learn things in a different way or from a different perspective. So you don't have to worry about it being actually about your teeth. The thing that I would do is, since it occurs frequently, is to look at what's happening in your waking life at the time you have it in terms of what you're learning and how you might need to change or adjust the ways that you're learning or to learn things in new ways. Not so much get new information, but approach learning from a different perspective.
We've got just a little more than a minute left to answer this, and it's a challenging question. It comes from a listener who did not want to go on the air. My question for your guests is, how are they so certain of these answers they are giving people? These questions seem to be the type of questions that don't have cut and dry black and white answers, yet they seem to answer with unsettling authority. Either one of you, Laurel or Carrie.
That is a good question that I appreciate. I would say my authority comes from 35 years of experience, and that when I first started learning to interpret dreams, I went on trusting my teacher and saying, okay, I'll try this out. And then from trying it out over and over again with myself and with other people, that's how I found it to be true.
Is it a skill set that evolves over time? I mean, do you interpret the dreams differently now than you would have, say, I'm 25 years ago, or 15, or 10? Does experience deepen your interpretation?
Absolutely. I definitely would say that my intuition has evolved, and my ability to receive the person who's bringing me the dream. In terms of applying the dream, the dreamer is the only one who can say, this is how it applies to my life.
We have spent a very, very lively hour here talking about dream interpretation on No Limits. I would like to thank both of my guests, Carrie Keller, Director of School of Metaphysics, Indianapolis. Thank you very much for spending this time with us.
Thanks again for having us.
It was very good to have you here. And Dr. Laurel Clark, who is the author and president emeritus of the School of Metaphysics and the author of Intuitive Dreaming. Laurel, thank you very much for spending
this
time.
Thanks for having us. It's been great.
It's been enjoyable talking with you. I would also like to apologize to any of the listeners out there, and I know there were quite a few of them because I see the emails and the phone calls that we did not get in. We will talk about this again. It's an ongoing conversation. This show is an ongoing conversation. I am John Kroll. You have been listening to No Limits. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Producer, Sharon Alseth. Interactive Media Coordinator, Melissa Davis. Technical Producer, Jeanette Rhodes. And Board Engineer, Don Hibschweiler. We invite you to join us each week for No Limits, made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.